June 13th, 2018, Economic Development Advisory Committee to order. That is not me, so we can keep going on that. Item number two on the agenda is the approval of the May 9th minutes. We all had a chance to look at the minutes. We have to have a motion to approve those minutes, please.
I'll move to approve May 9th meeting minutes.
Okay, may I have a second? All those in favor, please say yes or aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing no opposition, the ayes have it, and motion is approved, and the minutes are accepted. Item three for public comment. I don't see anyone here from the public. No comments, okay, fair enough. Move down to item four for announcements. Do we have any announcements?
We have no announcements today.
Okay. Moving along to item five for special presentations. 5.1 is Croquet Commons presentation, and you want to do a little discussion, please?
Sure. Today we have Jan Sweetman, not Jessica Rose, presenting today. He's been with Federal Realty and has really been working with us for the last 5 years or so now.
Longer, probably.
Yeah, to really change the character of the center and bring us some terrific tenants. And so we invited him here to tell his story of how they really acquired the property, because years ago it was held by one person. They bought the buildings but not the land.
Correct.
Which seemed to be the tipping point for them to start revamping the center. We've all seen it. We've seen the success it's been having and all the trips that are going there and the shopping experience folks are having. So with that, I'm just turning to you, Jan, and you kind of tell your story. And
happy to, Debbie. Thank you. Thanks for everybody for having me. Appreciate it. And just ask any questions along the way. I'm happy to go through it. No question is off the table.
And catch your name.
Jan Sweetnam.
Jan.
With Federal. I've been with Federal for a little over 20 years. Been involved in Crow Canyon Commons since we purchased it, I believe, in 05. And as Debbie mentioned, we originally purchased just the ground leased interest. So we effectively were leasing the buildings from the owner of the land. And that was a transaction that was put together two generations ago. And so one of the difficulties originally was that since we were just the ground lessor, we paid rent. And we paid rent in a couple of forms. So one of which was we paid regular fixed rent. And then we paid percentage rent, which was 25% of every marginal dollar that we got in. And so the relationship that I have with Debbie started at a very rocky point, because there was two things that were going on there. One, at some point, 40 years later, we were going to have to turn everything over. And then that was one thing that we had to think about. And the other thing we had to think about was every time we invest a dollar and we're getting a return on it, 25% of that return is going to someone else. And so it was very hard for us to come up with a financial metric that allowed us to efficiently invest in the property. And so we had a lot of, discussions and, boy, Jan, why can't we do this? Why can't we make the property look better? And there were some real issues. It just didn't make financial sense for us. And we were finally able to crack the nut open by buying one quarter of the fee in the late 2000s. And then that unlocked the other 75%, which then brought us to, as Debbie said, a whole new tipping point where we now owned everything, the fee simple interest. We didn't have to pay any additional percentage rent, and it made a lot more sense for us to invest in the property. And we did that in two different ways, one of which is we made physical improvements to the property, and so we changed the sign program and created a consistent master sign program that provided better signage for the tenants. It was consistent. The customer could go and understand it a little bit easier. We did improvements to the landscaping and added additional landscaping to make it look and feel better and create a little bit more softscape and green. That was great. We created a couple of patios for Pete's I have a mind blank on the hamburger place.
Haverburger,
yes, one of my favorites, Haverburger. We created a couple of patios. We added lighting underneath the arcade. We painted some of the buildings. We redid the trash enclosure so that it looked and felt cleaner and was more consistent. So we invested a couple million dollars just to make the place look and feel a lot better. And the market that we happen to serve and different types of shopping centers serve different markets. And for us, for this strip shopping center, it's all about convenience, and it's all about making it easier for the customer to come in, to feel good about coming in, and understand what's going to be there. It's just a key element of it. And redoing the parking a little bit and restriping it, and making it look crisper, making it easier for people, all were important components of what we added to the property. So that was one thing. That was just kind of holistically at the overall property. And we find throughout our portfolio, there are certain centers, and Crow Canyon Commons is certainly one of them, that could add and have a benefit from what we call refreshing. It creates a new fresh take for the marketplace. It also makes a fresh take for the retailers that we're trying to lease to. As everyone's probably heard, the retail environment today, the leasing environment's very difficult. And there are fewer retailers today than there were 5 years ago. I would suggest that there's going to be fewer retailers 5 years from now than there are today. And so it's hard. And so when they're going, when the few retailers that are finally doing a new location, they have to sell it to their committee that's going to, you know, invest the capital and invest the store. And so one of the things that they like is, boy, it, the landlord has refreshed it. It looks fresher than the competitor, and so that becomes a real check in the box for them. So that adds, for us, it's two things. By refreshing it, it's better for the customer, and it makes an easier sell for the retailer when they're trying to get a new location approved. And so we did that. And then the second thing we did is we really reset the merchandising. As Debbie said, we purchased it from a guy back in 2005, and he ran the shopping center essentially by himself. He's not a professional retail operator. And so, and he also stuffed a lot of what we call tenants in there just to kind of sell it and lift up the income and what have you. And so we've had to work our way through some of those tenants. But it starts with the anchors. And so the other thing that we had, so we buy the property, we only buy the leasehold interest, and we don't buy the land. The other part is we didn't own the big anchor, and the big anchor controlled it. It was Lucky's. Lucky's had long since been outpositioned in the marketplace and was controlled ultimately by another guy out in the Central Valley who really wasn't interested in merchandising, really wasn't interested in running the store. And so we had to go out and visit him a half dozen times to finally make another investment in the property by purchasing his leasehold interest that opened it up to allow us to bring Sprouts in. And Sprout was kind of a real sea change in the merchandising of the property. Having a productive grocer in the shopping center and creating those daily trips is just really, really important, and creating that repetition and bringing people to the shopping center. And once we brought Sprouts in, that allowed us then to bring in Orchard Supply Hardware, which was looking for a new home. It was located up the street here and had been effectively, I call it out position, really wasn't a great location for them. It's not an easy, convenient place to go to, and we had that. And being next to Sprouts, as soon as we announced Sprouts, they came knocking and said, we want to go there. And then lastly, the next anchor that we redid was ultimately was Lohmann's, which became the Sports Authority, which failed. And then Total Wine came in, and they were very interested in being with Sprouts and being with Osh, and they're also very keen to be along the 680 corridor, which their customer not only comes from San Ramon, but comes from up and down the corridor. And so that really reset our whole anchor system from an old, tired Lohmann's, really tired Lucky's, which in my mind was acting little more than a 7-Eleven. And all of a sudden, you've got Sprouts in there doing $20 million. You've got Orchard Supply Hardware doing $18 million. You've got Total Wine's probably going to do $10 or $12 million. And so the overall sales of the property have gone up 50% since we started making these changes. So massive increase in productivity in the overall center. So it's been a real benefit for us. And it all starts with making those investments in both the physical plan of the shopping center to make it look and feel better and operate more easily, and then bringing the merchandise that, these are your residents, the merchandise that your residents want, and what they wanted 30 years ago is different than what they want today and what they're going to want tomorrow, and that had to change. And to make that happen, you have to employ capital to bring those new sets of merchants in. And so it's been a great road, and bringing these anchors in have allowed us to bring in Dos Coyotes and some other great restaurants and retailers in there, and we're now trying to continue to re-merchandise, and we'll change out. I think we've got some more people in for permits right now. We'll continue to change them out over the next number of years as we go away from tenants that aren't productive, that your residents, your consumers don't really want, to kind of that next level. And so it's been a great run for us, and we appreciate San Ramon's help. It's not always an easy road to make changes to an operating shopping center. It's hard because everyone is operating, and you don't want to shut them down. So it's been good. It's been a great road.
Can you touch on the Big Five and the Rite Aid connection?
Do I have to?
That's a big anchor, potentially a big anchor space.
Yeah. So they have, Rite Aid has somewhere between 5 and 10 years left in their lease. I just can't quite remember. It seems like 8 or 9 comes to mind. And we've been trying to get a hold of that box. We've approached them to buying them out for better than 10 years now. We just have not been able to get a transaction that makes sense for us. At this point, they've said, "Hey, guys, you can take the old round table pizza space," but we have to look at more holistically. There's a 42,000 square foot space there. It is going to get re-anchored. It probably won't happen until Rite Aid's lease is up in 7, 8, 9 years. And so, right now, if we had it today, there's an exciting soft good merchant that would go there. Are they going to be here 7, 8, 9 years from now? We don't know. But ultimately, that's going to happen, and it's sooner rather than later. So it's not forever. Thank goodness they don't have 4, 5, 6 years options of left. So that should happen pretty quickly.
And then do you envision when that space becomes available that you'll reface the center like we did with Total Wines and Sprouts and stuff?
Yeah, so not only will we want to do that and San Ramon want to do that, you want to do it, but the new merchant coming in absolutely will want it. And they'll want it to be more open. They'll want to see more glazing in there. They'll reset the signage, maybe being on the tiles or something like that. All that will get redone, no doubt. And it probably would be right now. If we had it, it would be one tenant, but it's either going to be one tenant or two large anchors that would go in there. That's the plan. Right, it's just not quite ready to let go yet.
Mm-hmm. In terms of a potential tenant, what types of tenants attract you, or what types of tenants do you look for to try to put into that spot to continue on that trend?
A soft good retailer like TJ Maxx would be an example. Would that be good? And there's going to be people that are already in the market and what have you, but that would be a great promotional tenant that might go in there. Ross would be a great example. Nordstrom Rack would be a great example. And I'm not saying any particular one of those would go there right now. But could it be a PetSmart coming in there and part of it, and then another user coming in the other side? It's going to be that type of tenant, which I would call it more of a value-oriented tenant.
In terms of the round table portion of that, is there any thought as far as bringing in a restaurant, since that it's already set up as a restaurant, but to bring another restaurant in there?
Yeah, it would. I think that the maybe, but the issue is, as I was saying, they've suggested, hey, you guys can have the take that space, and we won't pay rent on it. But we want to figure out what the bigger puzzle is first before we just deal with that 4 or 5,000 square foot space. So it's a matter of whatever happens in the 42,000 square feet, or 75% of the 42,000 square feet, is going to drive then what happens to that space. So that, because that's just more important. We wouldn't want to do a 4,000 square foot restaurant and then not be able to do an anchor, a larger anchor, which we think is more important to the long-term viability of the shopping center. But it is a good restaurant space, and one of the things that attracted Dos Coyotes to the property was the deep sidewalk and the ability to do outdoor seating. Mostly in the shade is an important component to it. And that one's actually virtually all in the shade. So it actually is a good spot for, apparently better than the Pete space. But so we'll see. But that would be a good use there. But the larger retailer is going to drive that decision. Yeah, well, for us it's a negative. So it's there's only so many restaurant dollars going around right now, and City Center's going to have a lot of restaurants, and so someone's going to choose to not go to us
and go to City Center to spend their money. So for us, in the short term, it's a negative. What happens in the long term, I don't know, but we're preparing ourselves for them opening, and I'm making the number up, $3 million of restaurant sales going over there that we used to have. So
what are you, do you have any plan in terms of how to prepare yourself for that?
Well, we're trying, so where we see our competitive advantage, and we're trying to move there with different retailers, and you might see, you know, Spice Kit leave and someone else come in. So for us, our competitive advantage is ease of access and quick service. So where we should be able to excel is if someone wants something quickly and they can pull into our shopping center and get food quickly and come back out, that's where we would be able to put ourselves in a position to be competitive. Not competitive, but be in a position to offer something different that City Center can't offer. So you'll see us move more toward what are restaurants, what are food uses that are quicker, that are faster than alternatives.
And my question, I'll
you ask as many as you want.
My background is transportation, so I'm often thinking about access. Do you want the center to be somewhere where people would drive to and linger and spend hours? Do you want them to come in and just do a quick trip, you know, do their business and drive? What do you envision the center to be? Do you want people to know about it?
Yeah, where we compete is people coming in, purchasing something, and then leaving. So we have not, mostly, and that's got to be, I'm making this number up too, but it's got to be 85% of our trade. That's what it is. It's all about convenience. And so we don't have a lot of great areas to create a lot of great lingering spots. So, you know, we've got what I call the elbow space where Sight and Sound used to be. Pet Food Express, if everybody's been here like 7-8 years, Pet Food Express used to be. You know, on the one hand, it looks like it'd be a great space to hang out, but it's so far from the parking, and that whole area is so convenience-oriented. It's just that we have not been able to engender any great uses that create a great space to hang out. And we just don't have enough space that's together to hang out on. And City Center's got great hangout space. They definitely do. But if we're also like Dos Coyotes, where the whole restaurant becomes a great place to hang out, and it's indoor-outdoor, it communicates back and forth, you know, we'll do that.
So, Jan, one of the things that the consultants talked about as part of this economic element update you participated in was looking at parking requirements for shopping centers and then looking at maybe reducing those to provide that amenity space.
Yeah.
How would that, how do you feel that would impact Crow Canyon Commons?
Generally, I would say negatively, in that where we do compete well is convenience, and we compete well because we have convenient parking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so if you take parking away and parking no longer becomes convenient, we lose that some piece of that competitive edge. So it would have to be, you'd have to be creating enough community space, communal space, where the community values it and they want to go there. And then we're going to have we're going to have a competition for parking spaces, because right now, you know, we're not 100%, we're never 100% full on the parking, but we don't reach 90% all that often.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're taking parking spaces away, you're creating a community space, and then you're taking spaces away, and then you're bringing more people there, it compounds the loss of the parking.
Okay.
So it's something to think about. But here's what I would say, is that someday, 20 years from now, people are going to be driving fewer cars. But as operating a shopping center today, we need to get to 20 years from now. And today to compete in this type of center and most of our centers, and even Santana Row, which is that's a hangout spot, mm-hmm. parking is critical. And that piece just has not changed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Federal Realty, do they own other common areas, like Canyon Commons in the Bay Area?
So we have... So our holdings up here in the Bay Area, we have Crow Canyon Commons. We own property that saddles both Oakland and Emeryville, called East Bay Bridge, where Target is, off of the 80.
Mm-hmm.
We own a little center, a little property in in Berkeley on 4th Street, the quaint little walking street off of University.
Sure.
We own two large shopping centers in San Jose, a couple smaller centers in Los Gatos, and then a larger center in Mountain View.
Okay.
So Crow Canyon Commons would be typical of our shopping centers throughout our whole portfolio, and we're based in Rockville, Maryland, because it's a larger, dominant strip shopping center. And at 240,000 square feet, that's a pretty large shopping center.
Yeah. Okay. So would you liken the, I guess the residents that shop here would be different than the residents that would shop at Emeryville?
Yes, yes. No, it's very different. It's very different. For sure. Very pleasant here in San Ramon.
Do you have a certain persona of like a client like you want here based on the residents here?
Absolutely. You have to, yeah. Because what someone wants in San Ramon is going to be different than what someone wants in Mountain View, which is going to be different than what someone wants in Oakland. So,
right.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be different. And the competitive set is always going to be different. So every center is going to be, none of our centers are stamped out where it's the same anchor and the same shops and what have you. It has to be different. It has to be market driven.
Yeah, and where I was going with it was if you look at Emeryville, that area, I don't know how big square footage that area is, but there's a lot of competitive centers there in the Emeryville area. Right. Is this, we're talking about your Best Buy, near where?
Yeah.
That is?
Yeah.
Then
we own almost all that.
So you own almost all that?
Yes, right? We control almost all that.
So basically a lot of the competitive edges. I'm just piggybacking off what he was going through with that question. So, and then you look at San Jose area, Los Gatos area. Are there competitive spaces in that region that you're competing with as well? Are you?
Yeah, so I'll give here's another example. So we're in downtown Los Gatos.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, quaint little downtown. Was a happening place, I'm sure, 30, 40, 50 years ago, whatever it is. But now with the dramatic change in the retail environment and the retailers are out there, from a retail standpoint, it has become insignificant. And it has become an inferior location.
Okay.
So there we're under, it's not like there's been a new, the new competitor is the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
So whether it's, you know, it's our Anthropology that's there, our Banana Republic that's there, it's our Gap that's there, whatever it is, those guys are going to be gone.
Yeah.
And we don't know who the heck's going to take that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't fill it all with restaurants because there's not enough parking. So that property, by way of example, is in a very tough spot.
Yeah.
And it's going to have a hard time competing, and it's changed dramatically.
Yeah.
The Crow Canyon Commons is in a very good spot, because the internet has not affected our type of business, convenience shopping, quick serve restaurants, and it's such a dominant location, and we've created a good merchandising to it. It actually competes in a very good spot today. Not all centers have that same competitive makeup.
Yeah. Well, the residents here still maintain a car culture, unlike.
Yeah, no, I agree, and that's not changing too that fast. But even in the areas where we have where that car culture hasn't changed either, it's just the market has changed, and some centers are still well positioned, like Crow Canyon, like East Bay Bridge, but not like downtown Los Gatos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what I'm trying to understand and learn from you is your experience is how, as a city, you don't want empty space, you don't want brown space, sitting empty, that hurts everyone.
Yeah.
So what have you seen to fill those spaces up, not just put somebody there, but actually have it flourish? Because you mentioned there could be a setback with the city center in the short term.
For us.
For you guys. But but you didn't touch on the long term, which leads me to believe that
we're still bullish.
Seen this. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so you've seen positive trends.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so here's what I would say. So if I think about San Ramon and I think of the changing landscape of retail shopping centers, and I believe there's going to be fewer retailers tomorrow than there are today. So there's going to be spaces that just will never be filled. And so what do you fill them with? And so we are now, and so one of the things that I see happening, and we're doing it in Crow Canyon, is traffic has gotten horrible in the Bay Area. And San Ramon residents, Dublin residents, Pleasanton, that have to commute, God forbid, into San Jose where we office, it's gotten really hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're opening up a small satellite office in one half of the old bar method. And so we have 5 employees that are in those areas that I was just talking about. They're going to office there. And so that's a great use. And so you're going to have 5, 6, 7 people, vendors coming in and out of that little space. So it's now it's being reutilized. It's not vibrant like someone's, you know, it's not going to have like 100 customers coming in and out of it, but it's vibrant, it's being used. And I can assure you there's going to be a market for that type of product for somebody who, you know, maybe their bigger offices in Sunnyvale or something like that, but they've got a number of treasured employees that don't have to come in every day, and but they live in this marketplace, and where can we put them? And so that's an alternative.
Well, in addition to the alternative, last point, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Take as many as you want.
I've been reading a lot of articles. I work with a lot of venture capital, so I read a lot of articles, business journals, and one of the things they start talking about, because of the death of Realty, is leveraging the open spots as pop-up spaces for folks that do want to sell their business online, or create a brand awareness for their online business. A lot of successful stories have happened out of areas that have suffered hard hit by the Amazon effect. And one of the things that I've been reading that have increased revenue, not only tax purposes, but really there's a risk reward. You get a higher rent because it's not a fixed lease. You rent it out for like a month or 2 months.
Yeah.
That individual goes, creates brand awareness, sells their items, and say, hey, we'll be here for another month, but come check me out and online at whatever. I've seen this take off in certain areas where you look at, I'm using this with millennial, you look at the shopping experience being changed from folks that are like me. I still go get fitted for suits, right? I can't buy a suit online. I have to go get fitted.
Last guy left.
Right. So
no, I'm just kidding.
I have to get accustomed to me. I just can't do it online. Yeah. So there are those boutique-y pop-ups that come up. Do you think about that? Is that something that would be possible here? And the reason why I'm saying is because there's also, in corollary to this, UPS and FedEx in these areas have seen a spike in deliveries. I've seen a spike in hiring 4 more drivers.
Yeah.
They now, in fact, have extended Sunday delivery.
Very busy FedEx on Crow Canyon.
Very busy. Yeah. So I'm just thinking, is there possibly an option there rather than having a 24,000 square foot, I just meant that, 24,000 square foot of empty space? Do you have the option to break it down where you have miniature pop-ups?
Yeah, so let me talk about the broader question, which is, you know, we do think about it, and we do it, and we do it in 2 different ways. That the main focus that I know I'm involved with and I think about are the what I call the temp to perm. So you're trying something. Somebody wants to try it because they haven't been able to get their committee to approve the capital to do a new 10-year lease and all that. So they'll try it, and if it works out, they'll stay. So I call that the temp to perm, and so we do those all the time, and we're going to continue to do them. I don't know that we've done one here in San Ramon. One doesn't come to mind, but that doesn't mean that won't happen in the future. And so that's one, and then the second would be if someone is rolling out, and that's something where it's probably more of a regional location where they want to test it. They're opening their, you know, there might be their, we've opened several first stores ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's maybe more of a regional location. Then you've got maybe somebody who is doing a rollout and they're looking for, and they want to be there for a month and they want to be in 15 locations in suburban Bay Area. And so would San Ramon be one of those options? And, you know, the answer is probably yes. And so we capture that then through a different group who tries to have a national view and to some level a regional view of those type of retailers who want to do that. And mm-hmm. so in that effort, what we try to do on all of our spaces, and these tend to be much smaller retailers, not 24,000 square foot, but they may be 1,500 square feet or 2,500 square feet,
mm-hmm.
We try to create what we call market-ready space, where somebody actually can go in there and turn the key and open and do business. So we try to make sure that the space actually looks and feels good. It's Title 24 compliant and all that, so somebody really can go in there for very little capital and open up. So yeah, we are going to see more of that, and we're trying to capture it, and we're doing it on some level successfully, and mostly in the temp to perm piece.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. I have a question. So as you mentioned a couple of times, that retailing is getting more challenging. As a member of a citizens committee, obviously our goal is to support our local retailers and to make sure that we have a very vibrant retail centers. So in your opinion, what can we do as a citizen community to help you to achieve your goal?
Yeah, so one thing that's very important, it is hard to get, it's very expensive to open and time-consuming to open a retail store. And so between negotiating the lease and drawing the plans and going through permitting and having to build out and open, it's a very long and expensive process. And it's only gotten more expensive because apparently every contractor is working, and it's really hard to find a contractor that wants to, you know, open a small store. But anything that the city can do to make it easier for somebody to prepare plans, get them reviewed and approved, and make that happen faster is going to be a benefit. It's going to be a benefit for the retailer to do it. It's going to be a benefit for the landlord to make it happen faster, and it's going to give San Ramon a competitive advantage over if someone's deciding at looking at a different location outside of the city. So if I can get through the permitting process in 4 weeks, I got it, right? But it's 8 weeks somewhere else, I'm going to take that into consideration. And it creates a big competitive advantage. So I think that's a benefit.
So if I can just pitch back on your question, because I think in the permitting process, all that stuff is within the city control in terms of.
A lot of players, the fire department, I mean, all that kind of stuff. Right. I got it, yeah.
But I think what this committee is focused on, or tasked to do at least, is to think more of a bigger picture, branding, outreach, you know, things like that, that we could do as part of the strategic plan for the city, economic strategic plan for the city, to help the retailers to be successful. And we're kind of working on that right now in terms of developing that strategic plan itself.
Yeah.
So what should the city of San Ramon tell the whole world about why people should come here and open business? And,
well, let me...
based on your success stories and what you see actually happening in the real world.
Well, first of all, I do believe San Ramon has a strong brand recognition in the marketplace, so I think that's a real positive. And so, as you think about the shopping centers or how people think about San Ramon, I think that's an important message to continue to get out there and make sure that it's consistent. And so I think that's great. I think that's real positive. Traffic is out of probably out of the purview of this particular group, but each city, each shopping center, each district is competing on convenience. And so anything you can do on traffic to make it easier to get in and out and more convenient for the customer is going to be a real positive and a competitive advantage. So I'll accept that. So those are a couple of big, that's a big picture item. Beyond that, what should we be telling the world? What should we be telling I have to think about that. I don't know that there's nothing obvious at this moment that's coming to my mind, but is there something you're thinking about?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that through our retail analysis study that we're doing that we saw a couple of things. One, there's a lot of leakage from people who are in San Ramon and go to business outside.
Yeah.
And two, there's a lot of competition regionally with Walnut Creek and Dublin Pleasant, and we're centered around two major transportation nodes, 6824 and 6885 ADI. So for other people to come from out of town to San Ramon, that'll have to be a really strong reason. They tend to gravitate where the majority of the traffic is going, so people are going to those two locations. Walnut Creek has done a pretty good job revitalizing their downtown.
Walnut Creek has become a world-class shopping destination, right? It really has.
So we get there from here? Or can we even get there?
Yeah. I would say that there's no market here to do what Walnut Creek is doing. They own that market, and that's not going to change. The most that would happen is it goes away and leaves the entire zone altogether. I don't think you can make that happen here.
We're not necessarily trying to take it away from that. I think we're trying to see if there's an all. I'm curious to hear from why you're saying there's no market here. Like, what's the
So I think of I've said this before, Debbie, which is, you know, there's regional shopping that occurs in regional districts or regional shopping centers, and Walnut Creek and Pleasant or Dublin, that whole corridor, the corridors you're talking about, they already own that market, and so I don't picture any time soon in 10 years that a retailer is going to decide to not go to those two locations, and they're regional retailers, and to go to San Ramon instead of one of those either look. I just don't see it happening. And we see that dynamic throughout California in our shopping centers where someone's not going to choose one of those two locations. Those are just too dominant, too much easy access to larger populations, and so that's just not going to change. And the retailer, we see no impetus for the retailer to decide to be in two spots. They're only going to want to be in one. So that's why I say that. The customer here is just as fabulous as the customer in Walnut Creek. It's just they have the benefit of these better mouse traps that are easier to get in and out of for more people. That's simply it. In terms of attracting, so the Sprouts, from when I look at Sprouts, I don't really think Sprouts attracts that much traffic from the neighboring communities. Almost all their business is San Ramon, probably true for Osh as well. I wouldn't say that that's true for Total Wine. So I think Total Wine draws business off the I-680 corridor. And so that's a rarer example of somebody who does want to be in San Ramon, who does want to serve this customer, but also is going to benefit a lot from that access off of I-680. So I think there are probably some of those retailers out there. TJ Maxx would be an example too. Those are ones that are going to pull and are going to create leakage from other communities into San Ramon. That would be important. I do think City Center is going to create a destination for people that want to have entertainment, want to go to restaurants, that want to walk around a little bit. That's going to create net inflow. And I could be interested to see where that takes us.
So I have a follow-up question on that one. If we created a connection between City Center and the Commons, where people could linger at City Center but also could walk to the Commons.
Or bicycle. It totally helped. It would totally help, and that's something that we talked about back in the day. There's an incredible zone there, and it's so easy. It's a long walk, but it's a very short bicycle ride, a very easy bicycle ride because it's flat. You could create a real benefit with people going back and forth and creating density in between. We talked about residential units. It sounds like that might happen. That's going to be fantastic, right? And that creates it. You can create an incredible zone, and the more people that you have there in Crow Canyons, in City Center, people that live there, that are out on the pedestrian walkways, that might be in a parklet and what have you, that's going to beget more people and becomes a better, stronger attraction for that whole zone as opposed to the individual shopping centers of City Center and Crow Canyon. I totally believe that. And that's a great piece of property. That's a great opportunity in San Ramon.
So yeah, I'm just kind of furthering with that. Let's assume for a moment that will happen. There will be a connecting point. And given that you will see some residents come over to linger or to shop, what's your plan or what's your vision, or have you given a consideration to give them a reason to stay? Because I hear what you're saying as far as your market and your customer base is on convenience. And I would venture that a majority of that is based on the employees of San Ramon who are here during the daytime for lunchtime and all that stuff. Then they leave. But you have a majority of people in the residential areas that are looking for places to go. And the sort of a conflict that I've noticed over the years, because the common gripe in San Ramon, I think you agree, is that people have nowhere to, looking for good restaurants and nowhere to go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go so far as to suggest that it's white tablecloth and all that stuff and high end. What I'm curious to hear you, what your view is on, what about any consideration to sort of the Dos Coyotes types of restaurants? Yeah. They're family oriented, they're new, there's not too many around this area. I don't think the nearest one's in Concord.
Yeah.
And it made such a great impression on a lot of people in the community because they also donate money to education, things yeah. of that nature. But the reason I was asking about the roundtable part is if you were to maybe focus on a smaller size restaurant
yeah.
and recognize that you are not necessarily competing with City Center. I don't see it that way. But how can you exist in a complementary way with City Center? I, for one, know that I'm going to go to City Center, but I'm not going to make it a habit. That's probably too expensive for the yeah. common or average person. Most people are more interested in going to a center, seeing something different about it, something new and exciting to allow them to explore other sites. Because I'll tell you from my personal experience, and people I've spoken to, when Dos Coyotes went in there, there was a reason for us to go on the right. weekends.
Oh,
to
my
eat.
Goodness, look at this.
You know? Yeah. And we went on and said, what else is there? Well, let's go check out Sprouts. We do shop at Sprouts regularly.
Thank
and then
you.
When Total Wines opened up, yeah. we went down to Total Wines. And it was just more of an awareness of that whole central area of the center that sets yeah. you apart, I think, from, let's take Diablo, for example. Diablo, I see the trend there is everybody goes there during the daytime, but on the weekends, it's pretty quiet.
Yeah.
And so, given that there is a potential for a connecting point to drive some of the traffic over to your center, have you given any thought as far as what you can do to be prepared for that?
Yeah, we really haven't because we just...
That's a long, rambling question, but...
No, no, but, it just, a lot of it's, but it's a you know, frank answer, which, no, we haven't thought about that. We haven't focused on, you know, what's going to happen with and what's the connection going to be and what have you. But when that happens... I can assure you that we'll look at it and think about it and make an informed decision on what does that mean for us and where does the market take us. And I can assure you that we'll have the capital to make that happen, whatever that might be, whether that's adding one more sit-down restaurant, whether it's rethinking that whole zone where we've got the little we've got the little island in between,
right.
You know, and how do we rethink that? And is there a way to reconfigure it? And is there a way to create a little more usable sidewalk that can be great outdoor space that people do want to hang out and they want to go to Dos Coyotes and the place next door.
You can host events, for example, on the weekend. That'll drive people to
Well, and so one of the things that we're is there a great spot to do, you know, now that Dos Coyotes is there and it is got a great active patio area and it's drawing a good customer there, is there an opportunity to do some outdoor music? Is that something, you know, it's not very expensive, it's very easy to do, it's easy to program. Is that now start to be something that we could look at? And we will now, and we'll see whether that makes sense or not, and we'll see where it goes. But, you know, we're certainly open to trying things. If you don't try, you'll never hit the ball, right? So,
right, exactly. I think that's really good to hear because that was automatically set you apart from the other centers. I don't see that happening in any other centers in San Diego, outside of City Center. Just talking about the everyday, convenience-based shopping. I think one of the things that I've seen and experienced personally is when I'm given a reason to stay at a center and to look a little more, we're going to buy more things.
Right.
We're going to go spend a little more time and we're going to tell our neighbors. Versus if it's strictly sort of the commodity-based convenience shopping, I'll go anywhere where the price is cheap. I'll go to Costco.
Yeah.
But we don't.
Costco,
you know, we give enough money to Danville.
Costco's a retailer, no doubt about that. So.
Right, but we give enough money to Danville anyway, so we try to look around and see what we can get here in the city first before we go elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I think that your center is uniquely positioned because it has not gone unnoticed with the improvements that you've made.
Yeah.
It's the talk of this committee more often than not. And I know that for a fact with other people in my community when you talk about your center.
Keep talking.
We need more things to keep that sustained.
Yeah. Well, we have more coming. So I know we have more restaurants underway right now, and so that process will continue for sure.
That's great.
Yeah.
Folks, anything else? Anybody want to comments or questions? Or I think for us, John, you might get the sense what we're looking for is nothing necessary as an immediate improvement. We're looking more, you know, how can we as a committee help in terms of sharing our. So we're sort of conduits to the residents as well, and we hear a lot of what they want. We're residents here, and we shop in San Ramon. So
we love to hear what our customers, you know, want. What do they want? What do they see? And what would they change? That's all great feedback for us.
Yeah. I think an important thing just on the City Center, and I'll let it go, is that I think a common misconception, maybe from my vantage point anyway, that your center and other centers in your position are competing with City Center. I don't see that necessarily as the case. In terms of strictly foot traffic, perhaps, because it's a totally different experience. It's a lifestyle center. You're not a lifestyle center, but you're a center with a lot of potential and others around that meet the ordinary needs of the citizens. I'm not saying that you turn your place into an event center. It's not going to happen. But to give residents more reason to stay and to try other stores, I think that's where you'll see a benefit, where you're going to create that synergy with other centers wanting to know, hey, what did you do at your center that worked for you?
Yeah.
How can we bring other retailers in? And other retailers see other retailers. They tend to fall in line.
That's a real positive. I mean, it's going back to the retailer that is now going to their committee to get the capital allocation to create a new store.
Right.
And they go back and say, well, who else just went there? And the answer is nobody. Okay, that's one answer versus, well, you know, Dust Coatis just went there, and, you know, cryotherapy just went there, and this guy just went there, and now we're the fourth in line, and it's a better story. It makes it an easier sell.
Jan, does Federal as a whole market that center? I looked on your website, and it kind of goes back to the Federal Realty website.
Yeah.
There's no specialty website that really showcases the shopping center. Is that something you are thinking about doing possibly?
Well, so when you say marketing, in terms of, we market it to the retailers and brokers for retailers. So
right,
that's when we definitely do that. We do not have a robust on-site marketing program for San Ramon. And so I can't put my finger on exactly why that is. Mm-hmm. We know that the normally in a shopping center, the way it works is the retailers put in 75 cents on the dollar, and the landlord puts in 25 cents on the dollar, and you know that's how 100 cents goes out and buys advertising and buys events and buy whatever it might be. For some reason, we haven't gotten beyond retailers giving us like $1,000 total, right? So
mm-hmm.
somehow we just haven't been able to take that to the next level.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly why, Debbie.
Okay.
But it's something we should look at. And I'd like to start with the outdoor music next to that Dos Coatis. So that would be something that would be...
And we can talk about that.
Hopefully we'll see that
we'll
in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe having something over at Total Wines.
Definitely have more. Well,
while we're on the site.
I think doing... Well, in hindsight, Total Wines should have taken that sight and sound space, and I think they wish they had. And I'd love to do more wine tasting there and all that. They're actually a fantastic crew in there.
Mm-hmm.
They do a very, very good job.
Is that an opportunity to create like a small space for outdoor music or any kind of outdoor, you know, arts or something like that? Kind of like more like a same place all the time in the shopping center?
Yeah, I mean, that would be, I mean, that place next to Total Wine would be the spot to do it. But the issue is, it's just, it's small. It's also far away from the parking. That's also our most impacted parking because we have so much restaurants there. And so it's just, even leasing it. I mean, when you look at our center, we are, everything that's good real estate, 100% leased. The two spaces, you know, the two areas that aren't are in that elbow. And then on the side, right? Anything else that's on that main strip that's visible, has access to parking, I swear we're 100% leased.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. A better spot would be between Rite Aid and Sprouts. That zone is going to be a more fruitful spot for us to figure out how do we create places and atmospheres and events that people want to go to. That's going to be the spot.
Something that seems that that side is not as vibrant as that.
Well, it's because Rite Aid's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
Rite Aid. It's not even a very good Rite Aid.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a poor Rite Aid.
Or and Big Five as well. I don't know how they're doing.
Well, see, they're like the last guy left. So Dick's Sporting Goods is not in San Ramon, but they're off of 580, I think. But so they're the last guy left, and so you have to go if you're going to your AYSO and you forgot your cleats, you know, that's you got to go there, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're serving right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else? Any questions for Jan or comments?
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, you're
really
welcome.
Appreciate
happy
it.
To. Yeah, thank you for all your help. I appreciate
it,
Debbie. Yeah. Okay.
Really appreciate your time, Jan.
All right,
you're
welcome. Pleasure.
Thank you,
Jan.
Six is under. unfinished business. 6.1 is a retail shopping center updates. Looks like Jennifer, you're going to do it.
No new updates as of now, unless Debbie has something. But we really don't have any new news for you guys right now.
Right. Anything new?
Nope, thank you.
Jen's my go-to, so.
All right, we'll go with that.
She knows first, usually.
Next item, number seven, government liaison remarks. I don't see, Joe's here. Do you have an opinion? If not, that's okay. Normally Scott takes care of that, so he's not here. 7.2 is the planning commission. Vicki, any updates you want to share with us?
Gosh, do you want a long discussion about fencing? So we had some just really interesting...
Fencing?
A two-hour discussion about fencing.
Wow. Interesting discussion about how a code enforcement issue can get wrapped up in development permits and conservation easements. So for the property that's over there on Crow Canyon, San Juan Valley with the historic home on there, if you all remember, there was no fence there, and now there's actually a pretty decent fence. So anyway, we're trying to figure out whether we should enforce their improper fence.
So there's a fence there, but it's not doesn't apply a code.
They got a little bit of an extension on that. But it was an interesting discussion, basically, because sometimes that's what we wrestle with as committees and commissions, which is the letter of the law enforcing that might not be the best for the community, and how do you work your way through that was really what the discussion is about. So enforcing the letter, it's very clear, but that might cost more money, be more disruptive, and actually not give us the best options. So which one which path do we take? So when we don't know, we usually grant an extension for a small
right.
period of time.
That's smart. Just a little more time. All right. Was that the highlight, or?
That's it.
Okay.
That was the only agenda
item. Oh, 2 hours of fencing.
Sorry, I missed it.
Yeah. We're going to have to read the notes on that one. 7.3, Parks and Community Services.
Yes, what we're going on this evening is reviewing our sponsorship policies, because right now we're updating our procedures because we have more requests to be filled for our facilities and our parks than we actually have space for. So we're going to have a new form with guidelines and documents that are required. We're going to put it into tiers. Like tier one would be services that have more than 50% residency in San Ramon, and tier two would be services the city does not offer, but there would be someone else that could come in and get that service, and then there would be special events would be handled separately. So the fee schedule has already been passed for these things, but now we'll do the procedures and everything. So we have, like now, 9 field user groups, 2 gym user groups, and 3 aquatic groups. So it's a big problem. I guess it's a nice problem to have, that everybody wants to use our facilities because they are excellent facilities and our fields are great. And so this is why we're having to get a little bit tighter with the usage. If somebody comes out of the area and we already have the services, have a harder time trying to space. So that's what we'll be discussing this evening. Hopefully we won't spend 2 hours on it. And just an update, they're replacing the trees at Up and Downs in Central Park. So I'm sure you've been there and had it a little inconvenience, but the trees will be beautiful because the others were sick and needed repair, and these will be much better suited than the area that they're replacing them. So we're upgrading the fountain room. It'll have a new dancing floor in there that'll be easier for us to handle and everything because it was worn out. It's been there 20 years. And they're replacing, lights and all kinds of things in the community centers that will bring them up to date and be more vibrant and rentable. Pardon me?
What is that dance?
In the fountain room, if you have a wedding, especially if you have a wedding or activities where you need dancers and everything, there's a special floor that is put in. And this one will be more durable and lighter.
Which park is it?
It's in the San Ramon Community Center on Alcala Costa Boulevard and Bollinger. And so it'll be much easier to, for our maintenance people to work with, and the other one will fall apart, so people will like it. Pardon me?
Do you know the capacity?
The fountain? Of the fountain room? It'll hold 250 easy.
All right. Thank you, Carol. 7.3 that we just finished, 7.4 Chamber of Commerce.
Patience is here from the chamber.
Hey.
Hey, Patience.
Hey. So Gina's not here today. The Chamber of Commerce, we are, as discussed last time, we are working on the passport program to see how to make it effective so that it will draw in a lot of chamber members and other businesses in the area and, you know, bring in foot traffic, so it should be exciting. The Tri-Valley Mayor Summit coming up August 15th, we have a lot of interest in that, and we're hoping that hosting it at the roundtable will, you know, give an opportunity to showcase the facility and, you know, and attract people to San Ramon. So it is good that San Ramon is actually hosting this, because it goes around. I'm sure they discuss that once in a while we get to host it. So for this event, we're really hoping to maybe bring the driverless vehicles out and all the fun toys we have in San Ramon and showcase the, you know, neighbors what we got. The workforce committee, subcommittee of the chamber, is working on a survey that will be going out very soon. Actually, we're hoping that the survey goes out this month. We just did the temporary one today. We did the, you know, we're testing it out. But the whole idea is that the survey will go out to businesses and to be on the chamber website for people to see, you know, what kind of, you know, help they need from the chambers and kind of things they want to see. And then we will use our resources at the chambers and partners to host events, meetings, training, workshops that will be relevant to the businesses in the city of San Ramon. So that survey should be going out very soon. And once it's ready, there'll be a live link on the website, and you'll be notified. So you can tell businesses to go there and take it. Again, workforce needs and trainings that will be at no cost. And we're really hoping to work with the city center as they're trying to open up the shopping center, hopefully towards recruitment for people that want to work in the center. You know, we have discussed extensively, or we have touched on it, the potential of what will happen to the existing businesses when the city center opens. So we're looking at that as well. It's like, what happens? I actually raised my hand 4 times to speak because I had questions, but some people had more questions than me, so I decided to let it go. And at the end, you guys both asked my questions. Yeah, and that's what I was sitting next to you, so you couldn't see me. Yeah, but, you know, I think me and him were going like this, and finally I'm like, never mind. But you did address my question, which is, rather than looking at the city, the shopping center as a negative, we should look at it as a positive. So how could it be turned around so that other small businesses will benefit from the impact of this big thing coming to the city of San Ramon? So, and then the other things I had were things like, you know, it is on that pathway. What do we do? In Dublin, there's Nordstrom Rack on one end. You can get to, you still have TJ Maxx on the other end. In fact, during the holidays, they connect. People park their car on the other side of Target and walk over to Livermore Shopping Center. So again, just because there's a big thing going on here shouldn't stop us from planning to take advantage of the neighboring businesses. Of the traffic that this is going to bring. So what are the businesses coming to the city center? And, you know, we're looking at all that. So again, the hope is that our, and I haven't been in this committee, but I'm hoping on a personal level that our little shopping centers don't feel like this is a threat to them or that they will no longer exist. But instead, they should come to the table and have a conversation about, hey, so this big thing happening, we shouldn't be afraid of it, but how do we take advantage of it.
Yeah, I think that's a very important message.
That's the conversation that should happen.
To the extent that the chamber can get that message out there, it would be important.
So
I think talking to a lot of shopping center owners or tenants, they're concerned about being
left out
or just losing a lot of business. And one point I tried to make to Jan was, I don't necessarily see it that way. They're different markets. You can have both exist simultaneously.
It will happen if the conversation is not, if this topic doesn't start happening right now. So if we wait for the door to open to begin to find out what will happen, it's too late. So that's what I was hearing. So what I'm thinking is, this conversation needs to start happening.
Oh,
that, like, bringing in the businesses and saying, hey, listen, how does this become an advantage instead of, a disadvantage, or instead of you being afraid of it, what can we do to connect all this so that it works for everyone? Who's coming? How can they leverage each other's, business that they're bringing to the table, or the human traffic coming through? So anyways, so hopefully the chamber will be looking into some of these things, and it has come up on the table, and we hope to, I'll let them know that it's something that you guys would like to have more conversation about.
Yes.
Okay? That's it.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Eventually.
thank you for that update. 7.5, we don't have teen council anymore. Summer
until
vacation.
September.
So let's move on to item 8 for new business. Do we have any? That brings us to item 9, which is adjournment. We are adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.